Well, I do wish you a bright and happy Epiphany and an Epiphany season. And enjoy it while it lasts, because it's going to be quick. We got a very early Easter this year. So by the end of February, we're all ready to set to a Jessima. So it's going to be pretty quick here. So if you have got plans for king cakes and things like that, don't put it off too long. We need to remember that Epiphany is its own season, but at the same time, it is continuing the joy of Christmas. And I do want to talk to you about that in my homily today, but just simply to set the stage for that theme, to say something that perhaps is scandalous to you. Epiphany is actually bigger than Christmas. Now, I know that you don't believe me as long as I stand up here stamping my feet, but it is true. From the very beginning of the Christian faith, the church, when it was inaugurated in the first century, from the very first steps out into the world, Epiphany, the proclamation of revelation or the manifestation of Jesus to the nations, was the great and unchallenged feast, except for, of course, Easter. The declaration that inspired Paul throughout all of his many sufferings, all of his many journeys, and finally his own death, was inspired by the great and glorious bright truth, which is Epiphany. And perhaps you've already put away all of your Christmas decorations, and of course that's fine. We sing the song, 12 Days of Christmas, and Epiphany is not Christmas, and so you think to put away all of your Christmas decorations. But it wouldn't be a bad idea to still have the creche out, because you've got to get the wise men that you've hidden someplace in your house, or perhaps they were on the other side of the credenza, and now you move them across to be with Jesus, the baby. Okay, fine. And of course, there are the holdout super Catholic set among Anglicans that say, oh no, Christmas doesn't end until the feast of the purification of Mary on February the 2nd, when Jesus is presented in the temple. Okay, fair enough, you've got me there. I actually do have friends that keep their Christmas trees up until February the 2nd. And it's a real one, too. It's kind of crispy at that point. But they're holdouts. They're the real thing. But let's not forget that the Christmas story that, of course, we've been listening to, all of the songs, the jingles on the radio ad nauseum since Thanksgiving, and we get We Three Kings of Orient Are and all of that, that's just happened in the cycle of the story. So the great and wondrous story of Christmas that we try to cram into like one week is still playing out in the cycle of the way that the church wants us to think about the deep mystery, as Scott read in our epistle from the Ephesians, the deep mystery, which is that the Gentiles have now been brought in. So Paul can write to the Ephesians, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in the Messiah by the gospel. You see, my friends, this great and bright truth, which is the theme of Epiphany, the bright light, and we'll see the bright light of Christ manifested in the succeeding Sundays of Epiphany, it is the same God who brought the world into being by saying, let light shine, let there be light. Now we see how it is that that redeeming light, that sanctifying light, that gracious light has now shone out into the darkness, which is the Gentile nations. The Magi, as we hear, come from afar, and they, as Gentile kings, are our representatives. They come from far off places we know not where, and yet they stand, they bring gifts and sacrifices, and they fall down before the King of Israel, and they worship him, as we do these 2,000 years later. And so perhaps it's worth mentioning, at least this Sunday out of the year, that we should be caught by surprise. Epiphany is the great joke. It's the happiness that comes at the end of long generations of dark sadness. It is God's practical joke in which we are all supposed to take our breath back in surprise and then rejoice that now the story has had a happy ending. It wasn't, as a matter of fact, a tragedy. It was truly a comedy. The sad truth is that all humanity was trapped in death and darkness. And yet God had revealed himself through the ages to one people, his people, the children of Abraham, the Israelites. And he had continued to reveal himself through the ages, but always promising that somehow, someway, there would be a greater redemption that awaited. And so when Jesus came, his ministry, as we see reading through the Gospels, was primarily to his own people, the Jews. And it still was left to be determined by his successors, the apostles, what would be the breadth or the expanse or the reach of the gospel into that dark and dying world. The first ecumenical council, the first gathering of bishops that we know about, the apostles gathering in Jerusalem, is recorded in the book of Acts. Their single point of debate was, how would the Gentiles be brought into Israel? And would they have to be circumcised? Would they have to become ethnic Jews? Or could they be included by virtue of faith in Israel's king? And they all agreed. Peter, James, the Lord's brother, they agreed with Paul and Barnabas, who had come back from the mission field proclaiming the great works that God had done among the Gentiles, that his Spirit had brought out, had broken out in their midst. And each one of the apostles agrees that they could not demand that Gentiles become Jews, but they were convinced of the fact that now the Holy Spirit had broken out into the nations, and they should be accepted as brothers in the church. We now, these thousands of years later, the Gentiles have been brought in. This is the great and joyous revelation that we celebrate in the Feast of the Epiphany. Paul's joyous message to the Ephesians, as we hear it read this morning, is that God's plan had always been to bring the nations in, but it had been lost. So terribly had the Jews misunderstood the Old Testament that they had thought that the message was just for them. They were the ones who were placing the light under a bushel basket. The light that should have lit the whole of the house was now covered up with a bushel basket. They had lost their way. They thought that the letter that they had been given as stewards was addressed to them, when as a matter of fact, it had been addressed to the whole world. Jesus had come as king, not just of Israel, but of the whole wide world. And so Paul says that his ministry as apostle to the Gentiles was to reveal that great and mysterious plan. Not that we could all go to heaven when we died, no, but that all of the Old Testament promises had been pointing forward to this moment when the Gentiles could finally come in to Abraham's family. Those who had Abraham's faith could now become Abraham's children. And if they are Abraham's children, then they are God's sons and daughters. And this, my friends, is why Epiphany is truly good news. The Magi had come from the east, bringing gifts to the one true King of heaven and earth. And now the mystery has been made known to all the nations, far and wide, through the work of the apostles and the prophets and the martyrs. Now the world has been put on notice that God now has become King in his Son Jesus, and all those who believe in him and follow him in faith have hope, not just in a life someplace far, far away, but hope in the justice and grace and mercy of God here in this place in our own time. My friends, this is the great and joyous season and feast for us as Gentiles, that we have been included, that the divine plan was always to become a human being, a man, and to walk in our midst, not just in the garden in that mysterious moment in the first chapters of Genesis, but he always planned to be in our midst, to take our humanity upon him, and to make us partakers of the divine life And so we all, not just Jews, but Gentiles now, have been joined into the divine life. Those of us who have been given the gift of faith. What should we do then? Well, this should give us a new perspective on what it means to be truly human. It wasn't. The human life is not simply about some kind of arbitrary list of rules, those thou shalt nots and thou shalts, always expecting that somehow we're going to stub our toe or step on a landmine and get blown up in the process, and so we're going to go stumbling into the finish line there. No, the great joy of Epiphany is that God Himself has given us His own Spirit, that we now have been joined into the life of Christ, that the life that God has given us here is valuable. Every human life is valuable, but every Christian should know what it means to become more and more truly human in the image of Jesus Himself. We should rejoice, but also reject those dark powers that once enslaved us. Powers of ambition for serving money. The powers of war and death and destruction that want to draw us up into the wrath and anger that we see poured out in our streets today. We should reject and refuse that call upon our lives. And of course, the service of our own fleshly desires as well, in terms of addiction and sex and all of those kinds of fleshly temptations as well. Because our humanity has been drawn up into Jesus' divinity, now we are able to live the life that God has given us. And so we hear that language in our collect today. We ask God in the season of Epiphany that He may both give us the ability to perceive and know what we should be, but also to give us grace and power to do it. In the Epiphany season, we ask God again and again to give us not only knowledge of what goodness and holiness looks like, but also to go before us, to pour out upon us that prevenient grace, and then also fill us with that grace to give us the power to do what He has asked us to do, that we, like the Magi, might wander, yes, in this world, searching for the King in every moment of our lives, perhaps even to the ends of the earth, but inspired and driven on and called by that bright light, which is the Holy Spirit. And as we come into His presence, as we do this day, we bring Him sacrifices, not just of gold and of silver, but of hearts, broken in repentance, but also filled with love for the King who comes each moment of our lives to receive us in His love, to receive us in His mercy, and to pour out His grace upon us. Because you see, my friends, we are fellow heirs. We have been brought in. We have been made new. Amen.